I would like to bring a little message tonight for us here, and I entitled my subject as Give and Take. Give and Take. You know, to be able to receive something, you have to give something. I want to notice in 116th Psalm 12 and 13 verses, what shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. What shall you render? What shall you give? You know, for you to receive the wonderful blessings of God, there is something you have to give. You have to render. It's just not a free-for-all. There's qualifications we need to meet. I thought about Adam and Eve, first two people created. They had the Garden of Eden with all its beautiful fruit and wonderful things at their reach to have and enjoy. But they had something to give. What was that? Some obedience. They had something to do. Just one thing. Everything else, they could have it. Free, gratis is everything. But it was on one condition, that they would leave one tree alone and not take of that tree. That was the wisdom of the Almighty, the Creator, to give us the blessings of His creation and His goodness and His love and His power. But at the same time, He gives to us commandments. Something we have to do. Something we have to apply ourselves to. What shall I render unto the Lord, pardon me, for all His benefits unto me? What shall I give? What shall I do with respect for all that He has provided? There's something for me to do. I will take the cup of salvation and I'm going to call on the name of the Lord. We find up in the upper part of this 116th Psalm is one of my very delicious spiritual sources of encouragement and blessing. I love the Lord because He has heard my voice and my supplications. And because He hath heard and inclined His ear unto me, therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. You see, He wants to give you the cup of salvation, but you've got to render something to Him. Thanksgiving, obedience, submission, praise, honor, worship, we owe all that to God. Why? Because we are created of God. Every one of us. You didn't create yourself. God created you. He created me. I live constantly with an awareness that I am a creation of God. My life, my being is in Him. I live and move and have my being in Him. Therefore, I owe Him everything. I must not draw back one thing to my God, because He has given me everything. So I need to render unto Him everything. My love, my affections, my honor, my reverence. You're not here by yourself. You didn't bring yourself into this world. God brought you in here. God created you and me, every one of you, boys and girls and men and women. You are the creation of God. You owe Him everything. You owe Him your life. You owe Him your heart, your affections. I love the Lord because He's heard my voice and my supplications. You're not your own. You are bought with a price. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul brings that out. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You know, if you're not really loving the Lord with all your heart and serving Him every day of your life, wherever you are falling far short of what you owe to the Lord. You owe everything. You wouldn't even be able to talk if it wasn't for Him. There was one man in the Bible that had to pay a price about saying something to God that he didn't render to God what he should have. When God said that his wife, which had been a barren woman, and he and his wife were godly people, and he was in the temple doing the service as a priest, and the angel of the Lord visited him and told him and said, your wife will conceive and bear a son. And he said, how can this be that we're old and stricken in years? He should have said, well, I'm glad to hear that. I accept that and praise your precious name. But he didn't render that. He stuck a big question. How can this be? You know, we need to glorify God. You owe everything to God. You need to glorify Him. You need to love Him and worship Him. Pray to Him. Obey Him. Please Him. Honor Him. Lift Him up. You owe everything to Him. If you want to receive of His blessing, give and take. You know, when you go down to the store, you got all kinds of things in the store, don't we? All kinds of things. You go down to the grocery store, you got bananas and apples and oranges and peaches and grapefruit, and you got canned goods and frozen goods and all kinds of stuff, and they're just there waiting for somebody to come and get them. But what do you have to do to get them? Pay the price. That's just the way you have to do it. That's the way this whole world is set up. Did you know it works that way to a great extent? Not that you can pay for anything, but it's just the fact that you owe everything to God. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Now then, I want to talk a little bit about this thought, giving and taking. I want to notice, I want to go to one of my choice passages in the New Testament that I have meditated and dug into and been so blessed. The third chapter of Philippians, the Apostle Paul. I want you to notice some things that he said. Philippians 3, and let's start at verse 4. I might also have confidence in the flesh. If any man thinketh he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Now he's going to show what he was as just an Israelite coming up before he really found what life was all about. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel. He was an Israelite. Of the tribe of Benjamin. That was his tribe, Benjamin. A Hebrew of the Hebrews, a real Hebrew. As touching the law, a Pharisee, even attained up to the leading bunch of Jews, the Pharisees. He was up with them. Concerning zeal, oh, he was zealous. Persecuting the church, he was really down to business of going after it. Hauling men and women to prison. Standing up and putting his voice against them to death. Concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. I was right up to the top. But he says, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. He found somehow God Almighty and Christ were able to smite him down on the road to Damascus, and he fell in a light brighter than the noonday sun. And he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? He was taking a trip to Damascus to find any Christians up there. He was going to really bring them to Jerusalem and lay it to them. Why do you persecute me? He heard the voice. He saw the light. Lord, who are you? I am Jesus whom you persecute. It is hard for you to kick against the pricks. That man was working against something that was pricking him, hurting him. Lord, what would you have me to do? Those things which I counted gain to me, I counted loss for Christ. In that moment, he realized that he was fighting against the Son of God. The King of Kings. I don't know how much he realized at that time, but he learned later more and more. But he surrendered. He gave up. Lord, what do you want me to do? You know what? Dear ones, our society today is so blinded by covetousness and lust and pleasures and folly that they don't even know the value of real godly experience with Him. They don't even know what's going on. They're taken up with all this other pleasures and traveling and sports and pleasures of the flesh. The Apostle Paul, at that moment, he was aware that he was wrong. He was in error. He was doing the wrong thing, persecuting this Christian. Christ, I am Jesus whom you persecute. What did he do? What things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. You know, that's what we all need to do. Young people, I'm talking to you. I want you to know that if you want to be happy and you want to be successful in life, you need to surrender your heart and life entirely to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I mean, you owe it to Him. And you owe it to yourself. Because you won't make it if you try to do without Him. You won't make it. You need to give up. Give. Lord, what do you want me to do? And when the Lord told him what to do, He got up and started doing it. And that was the way he lived for the rest of his life. He went to Damascus and spent 3 days fasting and praying, seeking the Lord. The Lord sent Ananias to pray for him, his eyes to be opened up and to be filled with the Spirit of God. And he started right away preaching Christ, working for the Lord. What things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. You've got to give up. When I got saved 53 years ago this next month, I gave up my worldly music. I gave up a worldly girlfriend. I gave up my plans and my dreams for the future. I gave it all up. Opened up my heart toward to Jesus. I have never been sorry. I'm glad I gave my heart to the Lord and gave up my desires of my future. I'm glad for that. Even now, 53 years later, I am so glad and happy. I just seem like I rejoice all the time in my soul. I'm so glad I gave all to Jesus. What is it, one of our songs? If you gave all, since I gave all to Jesus and His favor gained, oh, wondrous peace coming down from above. You want to do that. Boys and girls, young people, if you haven't made a complete surrender and consecration to Jesus, you need to do that without any delay. That's the only way you can ever make it in life. You've got to give up your desires, your thoughts, your plans, your feelings, your hopes, your dreams, your affections. Give it all up and put Him at the top. Give. And then you can take. Listen. I want you to just listen to this. I don't know. I'm just... This third chapter of Philippians has opened up something to me. Yea, doubtless, he said, with beyond doubt, I count all things but loss, or not of any value, just let it go. Throw it out. All of my attainment, all of my winnings and everything, I just give it all up. I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. He is my Lord. You know what Lord is? He's your sole owner. That's what a Lord is. He owns you. You're not your own anymore. You're His. You give yourself to Him. Have you done it? Young people, if you haven't, it's time. I count all things but loss for the sake of my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and do refuse. No count. Trash, but dung. Win. What's this little word? Win. Win. You really want to win something? If somebody calls you and say, "You have won $1 million," wouldn't you think that would be nice? No. I don't want it. I don't want it. I would tell you. I would refuse. If somebody called me and say you want $1 million, I say, well, you could just take it and give it to somebody else. I don't want it. I found something far better than that. That I may win Christ. Let's put another word. Gain Christ. Let's get another word. Possess Christ. Can you think of anything any better to possess? There's nothing any better. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus Christ who broke the bands of sin and death. And conquered death in the grave. And gave His life for us and rose up and ascended to the right hand of God, where He's there interceding for you and for me. Don't you want Him? Do you believe in Him? Jesus Christ is what He says He is. He's at the right hand of God. He has control. He's coming again. He's going to come and destroy this world and gather all people to Him in judgment. Do you believe that? He's going to be our judge at the last day, that I may win Christ. And not only that, but I want something else along with Him. And be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. That law experience didn't mean anything to Him. Now, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. You want that kind of righteousness. You want to get a hold of that. Let's look at a man in the old Bible that I like to refer to that had that kind of righteousness and faith. You remember who that was? He's a man who lived in Ur of the Chaldees, way down at the bottom by the refuge Tigris and Euphrates River with a star suspended. That's where he lived, Ur of the Chaldees. But he believed in the God of his ancestors. His ancestors go back to Noah. And Noah goes on back to Christ, or to the beginning. And he was a believer, and Josephus tells us that he did not go along with everybody else in that area. He believed in the God that had been told him from his ancestors. And he was holding on to that kind of faith. And one day God Almighty spoke to Abraham, and he called him Abram. That was his name at that time. Abraham came later when, after he had been faithful and true in some of the steps of faith. And God said, Abram, get out of this thy country and go to a land that I will show ye of. And so Abraham obeyed, and he went out. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out to a land which he had to receive for inheritance, obeyed and went out not knowing whether he went. That's part of what you have to render to the Lord. You've got to become obedient. Now really, you have your own way. It don't bring happiness. It doesn't bring success having your own way all the time. You must be willing to do what God wants you to do. Give up the world, give up pleasures of sin, give up yourself and your ways, and yield yourself, give yourself to Jesus. Oh, dear Lord, help me, Jesus. Living for Jesus, a life that is true. Striving to please Him in all that I do. Yielding allegiance, glad-hearted and free. This is the pathway of blessing for me. You know that song? That's one of my songs here. Oh, I just full of song. I gave up my old world of music, Your Cheating Heart and Jambalaya, Crawfish Pie, all that. I gave all that stuff up. And He has filled me with song.
Amen.
Oh, glory, glory. Listen. I want to be found in Him having that righteousness that Abraham had. You follow the seven steps of Abraham's faith. Get it in your mind. Read it. See what he did. He gave himself. He yielded. He submitted. He obeyed. And step by step, his faith progressed. One of the greatest characters in the Old Testament, Abraham. And the last one, the Lord really put him to the test. He was 75 years old when he went out of Haran. And 25 years later, after he had already come to the place in life where his wife and him couldn't have children, they were barren and old age and everything, but the Lord said, you're going to have a son. And they believed it and accepted it. And little Isaac was born. when Abram was 100 years old, and when Isaac was about 25, now this, you don't find this in the Bible, but if you study in the Josephus and his rendering of it, Isaac was 25 years old when God put the final test to Abraham. Abraham, here am I. Take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, Isaac, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there on one of the mountains as a burnt offering. The mountains that I'll tell you about. Did Abraham falter? Did he hesitate? Did he stumble? No. Come on, Isaac, we're going on a trip. Get him up. Get a couple of servants. Get the donkey. We need to take some wood and some fire. We're going to go and offer a sacrifice to God. On he went. For 2 days, he was on the traveling with Isaac. Do you think that was easy? God told him to offer him there as a burnt offering. God was putting him to the test. God's going to put you to the test. You know that? He can put me to the test. He's still doing it. Got up there to that place that God showed him. He built the altar, laid the wood on it, took Isaac. Come on, Isaac. Isaac, as Josephus, the Jewish historian, tells us more intimate, vivid story about it. Son, I hope and yearn for you before you were born. And that since you were born, you have been my dear son, and you're my hope for the future. But God has told me to offer you up as a burnt offering. So what we must do, we must obey God. Anyway, he just told Isaac what he was going to do. And Josephus says that Isaac submitted himself. He said, Father, I was not worthy to be born to start with. And this is what God wants. We want him to have his way. And he went to the altar and got on the altar himself. Now that's what Josephus said, the Jewish historian. And, well, you could read it in the Bible, and you can wonder how about all these places, you don't know what how things went, but it makes good sense. Anyway, Abraham bound Isaac, took the knife, and was getting ready to bring it down. What a burnt offering is when you kill the sacrifice and shed its blood and then burn the body on the fire. Burn it up. That's a burnt offering. Is Abraham going to do it? By faith, Abraham, Hebrews 11, when he was tried, offered up his son Isaac, and he that received the promises offered up his only son, accounting that God was able to raise him from the dead. Amen. From which also he received him in a figure. He received him from the dead in a figure. As he bring his body back, ready to come down to stab and kill his son, the Lord God Almighty called to him with the angel out of heaven, Abraham, Abraham! Am I? Lay not thine hand upon the child. For now I know that you fear me, because you have not withheld your only son. Oh, see, Abraham gave, he gave, and he gave. Now look what he's going to have. If you want blessings from God, if you want goodness and wonderful things, then you've got to give yourself. Not hold back anything. Oh, I don't know. This is wonderful. That's not all, though, Abraham or Paul. That I may know him. I want to be acquainted with him. I want to experience his life and his spirit in my heart and mind. that I may know Him. See, He gave up all these other things so that He could become acquainted with Jesus, so He could be one with Him, united with Him. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the eternal glory of Jesus Christ. You believe in it? Oh, yes, I do. That I may know Him, and not else, not only that, but I want to know something else. I want to know and experience. This means know, experience the power of His resurrection. You want to experience the power of His resurrection in your life, in your heart and mind, the quickening power. What was it that quickened Christ from the dead, from the tomb? It was the quickening power of the Almighty God. He quickened Him and brought Him out of the tomb. And then, 40 days later, He set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. That's where Christ is right now. He's still there waiting until the time comes whenever the Father says, it's time to bring this thing to an end. Oh, you and I have the privilege to give ourselves to Christ. You know what you ought to do? You ought to come down to this altar if you haven't done it already. Now, I know if you don't get it in your heart and mind, not too much value of me saying it, but I'm going to say it anyway. What you need to do is come and make a total, complete surrender to Jesus Christ. Give up your plans, your ambitions, your thoughts, your desires. Give up your sins. Give up your iniquities. Give up your ways. Give it all up and come and give yourself wholly and completely to Jesus so that you can find Him, gain Him, own Him, possess Him, and His righteousness, and to know Him, get acquainted with Him, to know Him and the power of His resurrection, and what else? The fellowship of His sufferings. You can't draw back from anything in the Christian life. Shame, reproach, persecution, ridicule, criticism, hatred, and even death. You've got to be willing.
That's right.
Fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. Die as He died. Are you willing to do that? Would you be willing to let Him take you out and stab you to death or burn you to the stake or cut your head off? Would you be willing to do that? What is Paul striving for here? In this next phrase, if by any means I might attain, what does that mean? I might reach and get a hold of and be in that. I might be in that number that will be resurrected in the last day. Changed from mortal to immortality in the last day. But I must do these things. If by any means I might attain, you give and then you can receive. You give yourself. You consecrate your life to God. You give up your ways, your thoughts, your desires. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Oh, I tell you, dear ones, it means a lot to really get a hold of this thing. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I'd already attained, I'm not counting it that I've already got it, or either we're already perfect, but I follow after. Pursue, reach out with a purpose of heart, Work at it day after day. Pray. Seek the Lord. Draw near to Him. Follow after, if that I may apprehend, arrest, lay hold of that. Get a hold of that. If by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained or already perfect, but I follow after. I'm pursuing every day that I may apprehend that for which also I was apprehended. Christ arrested me. Now I want to get a hold of Him. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, he said. I don't count myself to have reached it. I don't count myself that I've got it all. I've got it all won. I've got it all. No, I'm following after. I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth, stretching forth, reaching forth unto that which is before, I press. Press. Don't we have a song in our book? You got to press. Press on, my brother, sister. Press on and let your failings a blessing to you prove. Press on and, well, so many. We singing that song and it just opened up to me. You press right against that. God loves you. Don't listen to the devil. In spite of doubt or feeling, God's Word will take you through. Oh, glory, hallelujah. I press toward the mark. You know, you got something to work at. You might think you want to go out and win the world. You better win Christ. And He'll help you win whatever you need to win. But the main thing you want to win is Christ. Well, isn't He already mine? Can I just... Yes, He's already yours. But you're going to have to qualify by obedience and pursuing and submission and earnest desire and working at it day after day in your life. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We have the Apostle Paul as he went on in life, and they arrested him, and finally he pled to go and appear before Caesar because of the charges. And so they said, well, all right, you're going to go to Caesar. So they worked it out, and he went to Rome. Tells the story of his trip to Rome. And up there, according to history, he was acquitted at first, when he first came to Rome. He was acquitted of the charges. But there was a bad emperor in Rome. His name was Caesar Nero. And he hated the Christians. He started a fire in Rome and blamed it on the Christians. And he called Paul back. And this time, he condemned Paul to be beheaded. And he was beheaded. But we have him say in 2 Timothy chapter 4, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me in that day. And not to me only, but to all those who love His appearing. You know, dear ones, give and take. Can you give it? Can you give all to Jesus? Can you surrender, give up your desires and your ways? Oh, dear ones, what you gain is so much far better than what you might hold on to. May the Lord help us. This is our prayer. Give and take it. Give, surrender, receive I want to ask you a question. I want to ask you this question. Which would you rather have? Your ways? The world? Go out and get rich and have money and wealth and property and just everything. And then come to the end of life's journey with nothing. And go out and face eternity and be lost forever. Or would you be willing to give up everything, lose everything, give your life and everything, and attain to the resurrection of Christ? Which one would you rather have? Give and take. May the Lord help us. This is our prayer. Amen.